Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that such a powerful statement? Jesus changes us. Even in our weaknesses, He is strong. And He gives us boldness and the words to say, and He uses us.
When we surrender to Jesus and allow His Holy Spirit to work inside of us, He will do amazing things. Today, as we read from the 3rd to 4th chapter of the book of Acts, we see what happens when the Holy Spirit speaks through Peter. The Spirit still moves and does amazing things today if we are willing to yield to Him and be used. With the continuation of our message out of Acts chapters 3 and 4, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
In verse 3 of chapter 4 in the book of Acts, it begins. This is the start of the persecution. He didn't give them this incubator for them to grow in order to go out and change the world. They start with persecution. It's been a very short time. And now Peter and John spend their first night together in jail. And I wonder if they said to each other, isn't this just what he said? Didn't he say in Matthew 24 that they were going to deliver us to councils and they were going to put us in prison? And here they are. In verse 4, however, many of those who heard the words believed, and about a number of men came to be about 5,000. Now note that this is a little different than when Peter preached to the 3,000. He preached to the 3,000, the 3,000 got saved, and he went and baptized them. Now we can't go baptize the 5,000. So somehow the number of people that believe were about 5,000, somehow they got baptized, but it wasn't in baptizing that they were saved. About 5,000 believed. So through Peter's preaching in his first two messages, about 8,000 people come to Christ. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, who is also a high priest, we'll talk later about how two guys could be the high priest at the same time. Just quickly, Annas is the high priest. The Romans removed him and replaced him with his sons and his son-in-law over a period of time. So there were five puppet high priests under Annas, Annas being the real high priest, and his sons and son-in-law being the kind of puppet high priest. Caiaphas is Annas' son-in-law. John, it says, and Alexander, and many as were in the family of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. So these are the who's who in the Sanhedrin. These are the rulers. These are the leaders. These are the guys that were involved in the crucifixion, the condemning, the trying, and the condemning of Jesus. It was Annas himself. Annas is there. It was Annas himself who said to Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" And Jesus looked at him and said, "It is as you say." And Annas tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of a trial? This man blasphemes and should be put to death." And he condemned him to death. It says they were all gathered together in Jerusalem, and when they had set them in the midst, they brought him in the midst of all of these people. They asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, don't you love it? And isn't there a sense of anticipation? This is a moment. Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, is carrying on the work of the resurrected Savior in front of the very people that condemned Jesus to death. And Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. He'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit in chapter 2, by the way, but now he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, "Rulers and the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done by helpless men, by what means he has been made well?" This is the layman he's talking about. "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," wonder if he pointed at Annas, "whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Why don't you hold back a little bit, Peter? Peter is as direct as can be. I don't know that you could be any more direct. And then I love these two verses, 11 and 12. In fact, they're marked in my Bible. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. This stone you guys rejected, he's the chief cornerstone. And now, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's a verse, folks. And if you begin to wonder, if you somehow are on the fence, if you think, you know what, you can be a Christian and be saved, or you can be a Mormon and be saved, or you can be Hindu and be saved, or you could be Buddhist and be saved, or you could be a Muslim and be saved, then you need to throw all that out the window. You either believe God's word or you don't. Either Jesus is the only name given under heaven among men by which we can be saved, or it's not. Either this verse is scripture and inspired by God, or it's not. It is only through the name of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. What a thing to say to them, by the way. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They weren't a bunch of hillbillies. Uneducated. Anybody here uneducated, untrained? I got my hand up. They marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that such a powerful statement? Jesus changes us. Even in our weaknesses, he is strong. And he gives us boldness and the words to say, and he uses us. And seeing the men whom he had healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So now they send Peter and John out, and they look and they see the lame man who had been at the gate beautiful there at the proceedings, saying to themselves now, everybody's outside, what shall we do to this man? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through him is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and they cannot deny it. But so that it may not spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name, as if they can control speaking to people in the name of Jesus. And they're afraid of the power of the name of Jesus. So they called them, and they commanded them to speak, not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you be the judge. What good wisdom. You know, we come up against authority every so often. Authority that will ask us to do something that we should not do. Years ago, when we first started the church here, Mark Martin, who's the pastor of a Calvary Chapel up in Phoenix, Calvary Christian Fellowship, or Calvary Christian, I guess it is, up in Phoenix. And one of his family members had a little girl who drowned in a bathtub. It's very sad. It was done on base. And Mark came down, and his family member went to our church. And so they asked that me and Mark would do it together. And on base, they had a chaplain. And so we went and met with the chaplain on how we were going to do it. And the chaplain said, well, the leader of the base at that time was going to be there. It was a woman who happened to be Muslim. And said, we want you guys not to say anything about Jesus. Don't say anything about salvation. Don't say anything about Jesus. This is the chaplain of the church telling us to do that. I got fired up. I said, I don't know how you can tell us that we aren't supposed to say anything about Jesus when these people are Christians. And we, I got going, right? And Mark, if you, any of you guys know Mark Martin, Mark's a great guy. So Mark put his hand on me and goes, all right, okay. And then I got up and I did my part of the message, which was more of a eulogy, talking about the baby and talking about the family. And then Mark got up and was supposed to give the message part of it. And Mark got up and said, there is no name in heaven whereby men can be saved in the name of Jesus. He just got up and did it. He just said, okay, I hear you. And then he went and did it. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to do it, not do it. I was all fired up. I was all ready to fight him. Mark was just like, it's okay. All right, we heard you. And then he went and just preached the gospel. And he preached it. And that chaplain was steaming, by the way. But everybody there heard the message of the gospel. And when someone tells you to do something that's wrong, you're working for your boss tells you to do something, it's not wrong, it's not immoral, you go and do it. That is, if you want to work there. If you don't have to do it, if you don't want to work there anymore. When I was a teenager, in between my shops, I worked at McDonald's as a maintenance man. And then I had begun to work the counter. They needed someone to work the counter. I'd begun to work the counter. Again, I was a teenager, I think 18 or 19 years old. And because I worked maintenance, somebody made a mess in the bathroom. And the manager came to me and said, "Hey, Robert, I need you to go and clean the bathroom up." So I left the counter and I walked into the bathroom. And I won't even tell you what had happened, but it was really gross. And I walked out, I got my keys, and I got in my car and I drove away. I have no idea how long it was before that manager realized I was gone and that he was going to either have to clean that mess up himself or get somebody else to do it. Now, I'm not necessarily proud of myself for leaving then, by the way, but I still don't know if I could do it today. I'd have thrown up for sure. I know I would have thrown up. I'd throw up today if I had to clean it up. So if you don't want to be paid, you don't have to do what your boss says, but you'll get fired or you quit, right? But if he asks you to do something that is immoral or asks you to do something that stops your faith in Jesus, then you say the same thing Peter said. Is it better for me to listen to you or God? You be the judge. But we cannot help but speak the word that God's given us. It's the same thing that a wife says to a husband. It's the same thing that a child says to a parent. It's the same thing any of us say to anyone that might be in authority over us. I point that out strongly because there's some people who say, when someone asks you to do something that's wrong, if you're under their authority, then you go ahead and do it that's wrong. And then because you're under their authority, they're the ones that are responsible for what you're doing. Peter didn't feel that way. Peter says, "For we cannot," verse 20, "for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And it might even be costly to you to make this stand. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them." They wanted to punish them. They wanted to either beat them or scourge them, show them their defiance against these leaders. These are the Sadducees. This is the high priest they've been talking to this way. "But finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done, for the man was over 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed." They couldn't publicly beat Peter and John because the people would say, "This guy's been lame for 40 years. He's been laying here at the Gate Beautiful for all these years. And now he's healed and you guys are beating him." And being let go, they went to their own companions. Now it says they further warned them, verse 22, "For this man was over 40, but up above it, it says they further warned them, then they released them. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said." What did they do when they heard that? They began to pray. "Lord, you are God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them." The chief priest is somebody. Somebody in a position of political power and authority. The chief priests, both of them, Caiaphas and Annas, had proven themselves to be treacherous and capable of murder. But compared to God, who are they? These guys put it in perspective. You, God, created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. You got a problem right now? Sometimes our problem is so close to our face that we can't see God behind it. God is huge, but God's behind our problem because our problem is too close. We just got to get God in his proper place. You are God, and you created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. Now consider their threats. He says, "Who by the mouth of David, your servant David, has said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand had purposed and determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look at their threats. And grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word." What a prayer. First of all, if I were threatened and then gathered together with you guys to pray, my prayer would be longer. This is a short prayer. Secondly, I would put a section in the prayer that would be something like this: and Lord, please do not let us get beat up. Do not let them scourge us. Do not let them hurt us. Do not let them punch us. Do not let them slap us. Do not let them, I could go on and on. I would want to make sure I covered it all in prayer. They don't, for one, not one time do they say, Lord, don't let them do anything to us. But they say, give us boldness. That's a good prayer, by the way. It's a good prayer for us to pray. Lord, give us boldness. So he said, Lord, consider their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. A couple of things there. Number one, we had seen the rushing wind come into the room when they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now the room that they're in is shaken. It's different. God does different things. Second, they were already filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd been filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Peter, it was said, was filled with the Holy Spirit when he spoke to them, and now they're all filled with the Holy Spirit again. Later on in Acts chapter 10, it's going to say, and Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks to the Roman soldier. They're continually filled with the Holy Spirit. God fills us with the Spirit as we go out to do the work that God calls us to do. As we pray for boldness to preach the gospel, we pray that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we step out with that boldness that he's going to fill us. And it says, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It doesn't say, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. But neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed were his own, but they had all things in common. There was a special work happening in that early church in the early days. This does not continue on. They all lived in a commune. They all had everything in common. They brought all their possessions together. The early church in Jerusalem needed to do this. They would soon be excommunicated from the temple and from their synagogues. It says in verse 33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Undeserved favor was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who had possessions of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed them to each as everyone had need. And Joseph, you guys probably haven't heard of him, or have you, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement. Now, we don't have a lot of time to go into Barnabas. We're going to learn more about Barnabas later. But I love that Barnabas got a new name by the apostles because he was so encouraging among them. He's just an encourager. Wouldn't it be great if there was just some characteristic in our life that was so awesome that the people around us just begin to call us a new name because of it? He was just an encouragement. It's easy to discourage people. It's hard to encourage people. Discouraging preaching, easy. Gomer pile preaching is easy. Shame, shame, shame. You bunch of rotten, dirty Christians, how dare you not do what God's told you to do? You don't pray enough, you don't witness enough, you don't do what God wants you to do. You're not doing this, and you're not doing that, and you're not doing this. That's easy preaching. Sometimes people applaud that kind of preaching. That's easy to amen that kind of preaching too, by the way. It's harder to encourage someone to pray more and read more and witness more and walk closer with Jesus. It's harder for that kind of preaching that uplifts someone. And I want us to be uplifted, and I want us to be encouraging to one another. I want us to be sons of encouragement together. We'll talk a lot more about Barnabas in the next few weeks, which are to come. It says, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite from the country of Cyprus. He becomes a traveling companion to Paul, by the way. He also becomes an apostle, not one of the 12 apostles. And we'll talk later about the distinction between the 12 apostles and others who are called apostles, like Barnabas. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He's not the only one to do it. We were told earlier that there were a lot of people that did it. But they did it, and it causes jealousy in a certain couple that we'll cover next Wednesday night when we're together. Now let me close with this. You can close up your Bibles, shut down your apps, and stand with me for a minute. In fact, let's stand upright. Let's go that way. How about that? How long have I been doing this, and now I'm doing it this way? Let's pray. Father, we are blessed by your word. We are so thankful as we take a look at Peter, John, as we see, first of all, this miraculous work that you did with them, the platform that you gave them, and the way that they used it to speak the name of Jesus. And may we use the platform that you give us and the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we would speak the name of Jesus among our family and friends. Lord, may it be that you would be exalted and lifted up, and that even as Peter would not take the glory for what you did, may we not take the glory, but point to you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. This is really what I wanted to talk to you about right there at the end of the study, which is we've seen Peter talking about what it means to be saved. Repent and be converted, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You may be here today, never given your life to Jesus, never surrendered yourself to Him, and you don't really know what to do. Your life just seems to be at an end, or maybe it's not at an end. Maybe your life is cooking along fine, but you know that you need to give your life to Christ, that this is the name, Jesus is the name given under heaven whereby men can be saved, and you need to repent and be converted, be changed into that man, that woman that God wants you to be, so times of refreshing can come from the Lord into your life. If you're here today and you want to surrender your life to Him, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just raise your hand now. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take time to acknowledge your hands, and then we're going to pray together. God bless you, ma'am. Right here off to my left, and sir, all the way in the back and back by the door as well. That's awesome. Anyone else? Right here by the center aisle, sir. That's awesome. Up here in the front, ma'am. In the second row there, both you guys. That's great. All the way in the back, sir, to my right. Somebody else back over here? Back in the cry room. Little girl there with her hand up. It's precious. And you know that Jesus sees that hand too, don't you? Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you, but I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Very exciting.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.